The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Your auto body and trust collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks.
Break that music up. Let's get the blood pressure going. There we go. Hopping, man. Hopping. Hurry up. I want to talk about Carl's horse. Go with all the misinformation and good information. I don't know. I'm lost. So I've got the answer right here. Her name is Tanessa Audette. Good morning. I've got Doug Jenke back from vacation. He had to go to counseling after being on the show with me for a couple of years. So we're going to start off. I'm not going to tell you where you're at because if you're so dim you don't know where you're at, it's not going to help you if I tell you that you're KCNR1460.com or at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM. In fact, I don't think AM's working. I don't really care. So the first thing I want to do is say that Matt Plummer cut off Clint Curtis's system for counting votes. He cut it off right at the knees. He doesn't want to give him any money for new tabulators. And, you know, I ran into some people that don't know what a tabulator is. The tabulator is the vote counting machine. It's just another name for it. And we've got four. And the reason it takes so long to count our votes and find out who won an election is because we don't have enough tabulators. And Clint Curtis put in a budget proposal to get 12 more, and he could have the vote counts in 2 hours. But no, Matt, he doesn't want to even give him $100,000 more. So he's not letting Clint Curtis do his job, let alone try and put transparency into our elections like we all want, and that's all we want is transparency into our elections. Clint wanted some money for cameras, but no money for cameras. We could even rent the cameras. They brought their budget down from about 2.5 million down to about a half a million just for this, just to show us his system and how well it would work. And it could go nationally, this system. They're going to videotape everything. They're not going to videotape your name on your ballot. You don't have to worry about that. So I just wanted to get that out there. Tanessa, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we're going to go to clip number one pretty quick. We're going to talk about the special tax before we go to the salaries because, you know, maybe the tax is the reason, maybe the reason for the tax is because the inflated salaries. You know, one thing I found out, I just found out this morning, I didn't realize Barry Tippin's salary is $333,000 and then benefits and then CalPERS contributions. The average salary in Reading, maybe Shasta County, is $37,000. That's according to TripAdvisor.com. And the medium salary is 65 to 70, whatever site you go to. The difference is the average of the salaries, and the medium is there's just as many making as much or more as there is making lower. So the average is better. But if you take and factor in the inflated salaries that the county city employees make, if you took those out, I imagine our average salary would drop to about $25,000. And yet these people who, in my opinion, are running a sinking ship are making 6-7 times more than the average citizen of Reading who's paying taxes and supporting them. Doug's been on vacation. How was it, Doug?
Well, Nick, I got to say, you're coming out of the box fighting. You got gloves coming, and you're beating up on everybody, and I didn't even get to say a word yet. So,
well, say something, or I'm going to slap you around, buddy.
There you, word. There. See, I said a word. There you go. No, actually, Nick actually had a good time. I missed you. I did listen to your last show with Shafton on. I thought that was really cool. My wife, we picked up her brother and his wife, and we did 8,400 miles through Canada, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Yellowstone, Idaho, Nevada, and we got back. And 20 days in a row at 8,400 miles. So most of it was done at the posted speed limit, I can assure you.
Okay.
So there you go.
Do you want to say anything before we jump in? I know
that. I do. I just want to say that I think that that number would be higher, but the 5 city council members who make $600 a month are driving that cost down, so it probably is.
Yeah, but your regular salary, you know. You're right. Well, you know, I sympathize with you. I was in favor of the supervisors getting the big raise they got because they hadn't had a raise forever, and I would support the city getting a big raise, or maybe just certain members of the city getting a big raise. Some of them, I'd fine them for being there.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate as to who you're going to get. So if you're going to get people that maybe are retired and don't need an income, but they want to serve their community, that's typically what you're going to get when you don't pay a salary so that it's a full-time position. I just am lucky enough that I can do this full-time and I don't need a salary, but I do most of the work that I do because I'm passionate about it, not because I make money doing it. So,
well, it's only like, what, a two-hour a week commitment?
Well, you know, when you get into that, when you get into that, you get into retired government employees, and they are so one-sided on their thinking. You know, money grows on a tree. I understand the Reading put in a bid for the Barack Obama magic money tree, but they didn't get it. You know, so it's just new fees, new taxes, new this, new that, and nothing gets better. So I want to talk about this first clip because they claim that it is a citizens-led initiative. So let's listen to clip number one. Are you ready?
But also from this perspective, what does 1% really mean to the average family? Well, we know that food is not taxed. Groceries are not taxed. So sales tax.
We don't have to do that because Mr. Biden made sure that our inflation rate was so high that we're paying more.
We sure are. But 1%, it would cost the average household in Reading $5.
A month.
$5 a month.
Not a week.
So if you could pay $5 a month, then you could have 2 new fire stations, 20 police officers. You could have Big League Dreams re-renovated. You could have every road in Reading repaved and brought up to the standards of what feels comfortable to drive on. If you could spend $5 a month and fix everything, and we can continue to dream with extra money to spend, wouldn't we want to invest in our city and do something like that?
Well, I think you're probably going to get a shot to convince people of that. Now, nobody likes higher taxes.
Nobody does.
Nobody does. On the other hand, we live here. It's not like, is the money going to go anywhere else but the city? Doesn't the sales tax go to the state and we get a percentage back?
We do get a percentage back. Now, let's also think from this perspective. Half of the sales tax possibly comes from people traveling up and down the I-5 that stop through Reading. So, we already have half of our sales tax revenue in the city of Reading driven by people that are just traveling through the area. This is not all money generated by us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be able to take advantage of the people that are stopping through, the tourists, the people stopping through and staying in a hotel overnight. You know, half of that money is going to come from people traveling in.
Okay. Well, what do you got to say about that, Tanessa?
Oh, where do you begin?
Okay, you might begin with $5 a month. That's $60 a year. There's a guy that called in, I believe it was Kelly Frost's show on KQMS, that said that Chico had an initiative 3 or 4 years ago for a 1 cent sales tax, and it would cost the average family $1,200. You know, Chico doesn't have the tourists that we have.
Right.
So I'm calling BS on that.
It is interesting. I've been told all those numbers as well. I've just never seen where it comes from. So I haven't seen a study. I haven't seen any evidence. I've heard it. I've heard that 60% would come from people from out of the area. I just have never. It sounds great. I want to believe it, but I just have actually never seen any data to support it. I haven't seen the studies that say that. So I can't say that that's true.
Well,
or Michael
Todd just said it.
right.
Well,
right.
I mean, you know, it's funny is they put in there it's going to be $5 a month. But again, where are they getting that number?
Well, what are you buying?
What exactly?
Because if you buy a car, if you buy a house, yeah. If you buy, you
well,
know.
Well, a house, I don't think a house would fall in that because you're not being sales tax on a house. So we're lucky there.
You and I both know that if you buy a house, you purchase more things than you've ever purchased in your entire life.
You're buying a couch, you're buying a fridge.
Yes, you're, because it is that's why it's such a major economic driver when people are buying homes and selling homes. Like, it's just a major economic driver for everything, which is why real estate is a part of the sales tax initiative, because they know it's just it's a major part of it, and it will help.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is – because it's citizen-driven, it doesn't need the 60% threshold. But the thing that's interesting is Mike says that the money's going to go to Sacramento and we're getting a percentage of it back. We're not getting all of it, are we?
So he just doesn't know. He's pretty new to this, so we'll give him a pass that he doesn't know all the details.
Let me tell you a little bit. I know.
It will, but if you do a local sales tax, all of it stays here. That 1% stay here.
Okay.
Hold it. The regular sales tax
goes
to Sacramento. Yes. We get 2% back. A special tax stays here. Being it's a citizens-led tax, it needs a 50 plus 1% threshold to pass instead of two-thirds.
Yes.
And I was going to go someplace else with that. But
bring it back, Joe. Come on.
I can't. Let's play clip number two.
Okay.
This tax thing here 4 or 5 years ago, and they were going to gain our trust back, and they named off all the fluffy stuff that you named that they were going to do, pave the streets, build the pump station, everything. And then about 2 years ago, when all the older management people at the city were getting about ready to retire, we gave them $20 million it cost us by the time they got their bump in their pension and their extra PERS and all of that stuff. How are you going to get my trust back when you do stuff like that? When you had money and you didn't spend any of it on infrastructure, you gave it all away to city management.
Okay.
End of story.
That's a good question. Thanks, John.
Well, it's a fair question because it's the same thing I felt, you know, when I was not in city council. I was a resident here and I was watching everything going, and I had a little mistrust as well, thinking, what's going to happen with all this money if we do pass that? And it did fail. The measure.
So, there we go. I think that I miss... Anyway,
well,
Michael Littall went on, and he said that they're going to put signs up. If you pass this tax, these 10 roads are going to get paved. If you pass
failed,
this tax...
And then literally about a month later, the council voted for executive pay changes. Right? Now, it did not cost $20 million a year. Let's separate that.
But they did vote on giving people big raises, 40%.
A few weeks after the measure failed. Yeah. So from my perspective, what I've said is I cannot get behind a sales tax increase unless we solidify this with the public and make them believe this is a promise of all the things we're going to do. We have to have signage up that says this is a commitment to building a fire department at this location over here, rebuilding this fire department over here, adding 20 police officers, signage that says these parks will get completed. The signage around town is a commitment and a promise to the city that says you've seen it, we put the signs here, these are the 10 worst roads that are going to get paved within 1 year. And we didn't have that in the last sales tax. It was very unknown what was going to happen with the money. So we have to do a better job to advertise and make a promise and a commitment to the city that give you visuals all over town, much like campaign signs of how.
You know, I have a hard time believing somebody that's been fired by Farmers Insurance and Allstate won't write policies for them. But what do you think about that, Tanessa? Do you want to lead off on that?
Oh, man. I wish I had a piece of paper and a pen because I want to take notes of all the things that I.
Well, that's the last one we got going there.
Okay, so I want to clarify on the $20 million. So, the raises that began in 2021, and so between since 2020, because really those raises started in 21. So since 2020, thank you, our the cost of personnel, just the cost of personnel, not operating, not maintenance, just the cost of personnel since 2020 has gone up $20 million. So we are paying $20 million
more
for personnel in the general fund, not all the way across the city, like not enterprise funds, just across the board in the general fund. We are paying $20 million more now. And so that's a choice.
Better ever.
Now, Barry Tippin does the hire and firing, so we can hang all that on him, can't we?
Well, no. I mean, yes, you can hang most of that on him. He does all the hiring and firing. But, you know, I think what I have found is that what we're told is not always what happens, and what we're being recommended is largely being narrated, sort of what the conditions are being narrated to us. They're being told to us. And if we don't go and pull out a calculator and check the math and, you know, come back, then we're basically in the dark. We're trusting that what he's telling us is true. And what the report does is just fact check everything that we as a council were told versus what was reality. And time again, those things don't match.
Now, is that, I don't know, finance, accounting department? Is that management not letting the facts come through? What would you kind of assess that misinformation to?
So in my experience on the council, since I've been on there for about 2.5 years, I would say largely everything is told to us. There's so much that's happening. You kind of walk into the middle of a story. And so there's no catch up. There's no onboarding. There's not, here's what's happening in every single department and all of, there's just no way to do that. There's too many things. So stuff comes before you in motion. And so you're told, you're given a staff report, which you may or may not understand based on how they've written it and what they've said, and you won't know what they didn't tell you. You just have this bit of information, and then you go to the city manager, and he explains it to you, and he gives you
his vision,
his story of what it is and why we should do it this way, because there is a recommendation on all of them. And the very first thing I did, my very first item 12, which is where I get to say what I would like to be on the agenda, is this is not enough time to process and make big decisions. 5 days is not enough time. On top of that, sometimes the recommendation is, if you don't do this, then, you know, then you'll just do nothing. And you're like, well, that's not an alternative.
Yeah.
That's a do this or, you know,
yeah.
Or go ahead, you come up with something that you don't know anything about, you have no experience, you don't have, you know what I mean? You're coming into the middle. And so when it came to the finances, you're largely being led. And if you don't start, you know, when something is incongruent, you have to take those opportunities to get more clarity, which means you'll ask better questions and you'll probably get better answers to understand.
I suspect it's probably over everybody's head, just besides a couple of people, that they just have to trust them and say yes.
Yes, that is true. I asked this question of somebody very early on at like maybe my third month. I said, is the expectation of everything that comes onto the agenda that we're just going to say yes? And they said, yeah. And I said, how can that be? And he's like, it's not going to go on there unless Barry knows there's going to be 3 yeses. And so that put into perspective, and that's just what somebody said, so that doesn't make it true, but that is what they said to me. And so it put into perspective, you know, when DeQuisto's not talking to directors, he's not talking to the city manager, I thought, okay, well, maybe that's why, because he doesn't want to tell him how he's going to vote so that he can't, you know, try to manipulate the agenda. And so he didn't tell me that, but that's just sort of, I was like, well, maybe that's why he's not coming in and speaking to them. But it does mean that you have to also then play those politics with your management. So it's not that I was unaware that there could be things that were incongruent. It's just that when it came to the finances, I knew the history. I knew in 2019, really hard choices have been made. And so that had built my trust that financially we were going to be what they said. And also it feels like there's a really clear track record. There's a paper trail Why would you not be forthcoming when there is a paper trail of all this stuff?
Well, now, let me interject here. So you just made a statement that said 2019, there were some changes, and you felt good about it, but then you said earlier...
Well, I wasn't on the council.
No, I know that. But then you're saying in 21, all of a sudden this 20 million kind of starts working its way through. I mean, what changed that, you know, 19, from what your perspective, being on the council, was actually now, looking now. And then what, was it COVID money that they just took and said, we're going to commit this for the future, even though we won't be getting it?
Okay, so a couple things. So,
and I know you weren't on the council. I'm just saying you're now looking down.
Totally. Yes, absolutely. So I wasn't, he had already been speaking in my class. So in 2019, when those decisions to have staff actually pay more towards their pensions and pay more towards healthcare, that is a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
I agree. And we liked that. And so that sort of had earned my trust. And then I didn't know about, you know, I had been told a position got a 40% increase. I didn't know all the details of that raise. I wasn't at that meeting in January of 22. I hadn't even decided I was running for office until that March. So yeah. I wasn't coming to all the meetings and tuning in. I mean, I knew, you know, obviously I was aware of running other campaigns and stuff, but my focus wasn't on that. And so I was told, no, it was one position, and it was a position that had been empty, and they just hadn't had raises for it because, you know, so I was given a bunch of excuses, and people said Barry got a 40%, and I went and looked at it, it wasn't. So it's like sometimes when there's not that people are wrong, it's just that they don't know the detail. And if they say that and I go find it, it's like, okay, well, that's not true, so it must not be right, which is why my report is 150 pages, because I wanted to cover everything. Because if one thing is wrong, you could just say, oh, it's all wrong.
Yep.
And so when I look back on it, what I have found is that it wasn't just that they gave the raises, is that they modified the sales tax projections. They basically, the good thing that Mike Warren brought into the city is a 10-year plan, because it creates some financial boundaries around raises that you can give, because you have to show how you're going to be able to sustain these costs in the long run. But that means that the way that you get around it is that you inflate the revenues into that 10-year. And what he was able to convince the council to do is to say that there's going to be a new normal, and so we can raise the sales tax to this new massive increase of 12.5% and 13.5% in the second year, which just continued it. And TOT tax was raised by 34%. And so that added $65 million of revenue into that 10-year plan. That's a lot of money to spend. And so when they did those January raises, in his report on that, he says, because I've gone back to look at it, he says, hey, you should feel good about this decision because you know, look here, our revenues are really, really good, and we're going to change projections. Like, we're going to modify this to this new normal. The problem with that is that 9 months before, in a Record Searchlight article, he says, you know, this is just one-time money.
Is that back when the Record Searchlight told the truth?
Well, I'm really grateful for that report, because it literally is an interview with him about the budget for fiscal year ending 22 and 23, saying, you're going to have a huge year. They're expecting a massive sales tax year. And he's saying, but it's just one-time money. And so we're talking to the council about what they want to spend that one-time cash on. This is not going to be a new normal. He says it in the article. And then you get to 9 months later, and they're like, just kidding, it is the new normal. And yes, there was ARPA money. So they basically found out they were getting about $18 million in ARPA funds, the COVID money. And that first deposit came in that in 21, in that March, May, they got that first deposit of $9 million. And I'm sure that's when the wheels started turning, because within 9 months, there was a whole new plan.
Yeah.
And you had the study kicked right off after that money came in. The study kicked off to see if we were behind the market.
Yeah.
And my argument on market rate pay is that you can't pay public workers market rates because they have a guaranteed pension. So any raise that they get also raises the pension obligation.
Yeah.
So it's just not a sustainable model to think that you're going to pay them like you would in the private sector, and that you have to make it competitive like that. It's not. It's deferred.
And for many years, we've been hearing, you know, we've got to be competitive with these others. Their cost of living, their housing, everything was much more by thousands of dollars. And we're sitting there trying to match their salaries. I'm like, no, we live in back in the day. We live in Reading in a house. You could buy a decent house for 250, but in Stockton it was 400. So us trying to match these other outside areas is just a bunch of BS, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we don't have to guess anymore because they did it, and our budget is collapsing underneath the weight of it.
Yep.
So we know that that doesn't work, and we know that that's not sustainable, and we know that that's not what the people want. And let's be really clear. The government works for the people. Okay? The government works for the people.
They do not.
Yes, they do.
They do not.
Well, they should.
There you go.
The fact of the matter, that's why I put the findings out, because you should get to decide if that's okay with you. Not if they decide that it's okay for them. It's if you decide. And if they're making decisions saying, yep, it's okay with us, and the people disagree, then you have to tell them that you disagree, because we are your representatives.
You know, we're going to have to go to a break, but when we come back from the break, I want you to explain to us how they set it up to where if somebody under Barry gets a raise, he automatically gets bumped up.
No problem.
So, are you ready for a break?
He's got his thumb up.
Okay, break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman for Reading Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Reading Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Reading Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The Hunts are back for two nights at Blue River Resort and Casino. Prepare yourself and your friends for the hottest male performers. Leading up the stage on Friday, August 22nd and Saturday, August 23rd. Get your tickets for only $20. Plus fees. This includes $10 free slot play. Get your tickets now before they're gone. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Win River Resort and Casino.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Nothing but a pencil neck geek.
That would be, who's the pencil neck geek? I'm going to nominate Latal. So anyway, you know, before we get going, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. One, I'm doing a podcast now, 7 to 8 o'clock Friday mornings on Mountaintop Media. It's called Right Side of the News, and we'll take calls. And the number is 530-219-4872. That's John Knight and I are making those calls. And, you know, okay, we're going to ask about the sales tax. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyways, folks, while we're in the thing, Jill Biden showed up to come pick up Joe, but she realized it was Nick and left. So just letting you know, Nick
There's
is back.
There's nothing funny about that. I don't see any humor in that at all.
Nick, I've been gone for a whole last show, so I get to kind of abuse you for two shows into one.
Let's go to the sales tax.
Yes.
We're but in trouble,
first,
but
let's hear about
it. On,
okay, we're going to the sales tax. Hit it.
On numbers that have been changing.
I'm going to stop
know, and, oh, this is what it's going to be, and then 10 months later, well, maybe, no, not so fast.
Yeah.
But we're still in a deficit, any way you look at it.
Correct. The
okay.
Yes, because
and
of,
we have hired 171 more people since what 2020.
Yeah, and then we've also given everybody a raise.
A raise,
market
those big
rate.
Ones. Yeah, the big ones, big raises.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about these big raises.
Okay.
Because one of the very interesting things that I have found that is just sort of leaves you awestruck is that in January of 22. Uh-huh. It wasn't just that they gave people raises, okay? What they also did, which you don't see in the paperwork that is, you know, presented to the council or to the public,
mm-hmm.
is that while the maximums are raised by, like, an average, in the first year, it's three-part raise, but the very first bump is, you know, 18%, oof. Like for executives, 20%. For the bargaining units, it might have started at 20%. It might have started at 5%, or maybe they do three escalators in 1 year. So you get to, you know, 15% in the first year, but it looks like it's three, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But for the executives, think about it this way, that first bump, let's say it's a 20% raise for an executive in their maximum. The minimum was raised by 40%. It doubled what the maximum was. So you now have the maximum or the minimum exceeding the maximum by double what that increase was. So let's just say you were a new director and you are getting paid $100,000 a year. Well, with between 2021 and 2024, you'll get like a $70,000 raise.
Stop. I don't understand that, Tanessa.
I know. I don't either. I didn't explain that very well. I kept getting my minimums and maximums.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I don't know the best way to explain this because you have to kind of see it. And when I saw it, that's what was so crazy. So everybody has a pay scale, right? So when you get a job, you're like, okay, well, how much does it pay? And it's like, oh, between, you know, 90 and 140,000. And so if you were a director, I think the average pay was somewhere in the high 90s to like 140,000. That's what directors got paid. When they did the January 2022 raise, which was a January raise, a June raise, and then, or July, and then the following July. So it was three raises, you know, pretty quickly, one in the first year, one in the second year.
And most private people do not get barely one
no,
raise.
They don't.
So these guys are getting three raises.
Yeah, they're getting three raises in a very short amount of time. And so there's that pay scale. So basically the top of the pay scale went up 20%, the bottom of the pay scale went up 40%. And so that's like a permanent raise. So we had four new directors. I knew we have new ones in 23. I don't know if they had come on earlier than that, like in 22, but basically if you had been at the bottom of that pay range, you were getting about $95,000, $96,000. After those raises, your minimum salary was now $150,000 minimum. So you now exceeded the top of that pay scale where it used to be that the most you could make was 140. Now your baseline was 150. But that was the minimum. So if you were at the bottom of the pay scale, you got a massive raise as opposed to the people at the top of the pay scale that could have only gotten up to 20% more.
It looks to me like Barry Tippin's making Mike Warren look like a piper.
Well, I tell you what, we were talking about before the show that I moved here in 97, 98, and that's the era of Emperor Warren and spending money and the bridge and the whole works. But it, in my opinion, from that point on, because I became real estate and followed politics and got into it a little bit, that's where I think Reading turned. I think it was in the Warren era that we're now kind of dealing with, because the era of big spending, I think that's where it kind of, and it's just
the minute he walked in the door,
it's just rolling downhill ever since.
Right, but amenities are a draw. I mean, I can make an argument for amenities, and I can sell assets. What am I going to do with permanent? Payroll costs and pension costs. Those things last forever, and I can't sell them. I can't go sell, you know, big league. I can go sell big league dreams. I can go try to do that, but I cannot sell pensions. So this is a permanent cost to us that does not have a direct benefit. The same way that I can do something with an asset.
Well, an asset can generate money.
Right.
These costs are just going to continue to go up and cost us money.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. It's not the staff's fault that they got raises. Like, if you're offered a raise, you're not going to say no, you know, for the good of the city, I'm not. No, it's like if they're doing it, you're thinking, well, obviously we can. Of course, if we can do it, they're going to do it. Unfortunately, that was built off of numbers in revenue that was completely inaccurate. There was no trend going in that direction, and I brought you the numbers. You know, there basically was one amazing quarter in 21-22. One, that first quarter was like a 21% return on sales tax over what they anticipated. But then the very next quarter, it went down to 11%. So it was trending down. Then it went down to 10%. And they made this huge modification as it was trending down. It was still above. And that year basically ended flat to what they expected. But immediately the next year, it was down. It was down about 9%, and they did not modify it. They went the entire year without modifying it.
That 21 would have been right in the middle of people getting that stimmy check.
100%.
So they had money. They were buying cars. They were buying everything for a short window of time.
Yeah, and for a lot, because it was super inflated.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It was like you could sell your cars for more than what you bought them for. My husband's in the car business, so that it was insane.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, the ARPA money went into the general fund, $13 million. So it gave the council this idea that we had a lot more money in reserves than we did. And typically reserves grew because the year before your expenses were lower, and you didn't spend as much, and good money came in, and so you'd get a surplus. But they also in 1920, they started inflating the beginning cash. So they started projecting what we had for cash, which is not accurate. You report what you have for cash.
You have $2 in your wallet or you don't.
Exactly. You report that, and then you project where you think it's going to end. But you don't project where you start. You just report where you start. Well, so they started inflating that number. So that gave the council this idea that, oh, we have a lot more money. We're doing really good. We're obviously doing really well. And so I think all of those factors came in, and then just this level of trust that we had built on real stuff that had happened in 2019. And so I think the council wanted to believe that that was true. And the numbers made it look like it was.
I've got a couple questions. One, did the lower echelons get raises? The janitor, the landscaper?
Yes.
Everybody
got raises.
Big raises like that?
Minimally 20%. Minimally 20%.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Everyone, across all the funds. So we're not just talking about the general fund when we talk about the raises. Everybody got a raise. However, when I talk about the costs, when I talk about the detriment to it, I'm only talking about the general fund. There's been some misconception that I am conflating those numbers together when I report just the impacts. But when I talk about impacts, I am only talking about the general fund because that is the reports that we actually get. The 10-year plan is tracking with us every quarter to tell us what we've spent in revenues, tell us what we've spent in expenditures, and it shows us that.
Well, I think the thing that shocks me is I happen to live here in 21, and I live here now, and we had 171 new hires. I can't say that Reading's 171 people better off than it was in 2021.
Our population has decreased.
Well, California's has. And so we actually added, I think, Reading has how many?
No, Reading's population.
No, I know.
Has decreased.
Yes, it has, as is California. But, 171, that's got to be like 10% of our workforce or so. We could have, 1,000, 1,500 people working for the city of Reading?
We have, as of this next budget, we've got 952.
So we added damn near 20%. In employees in 4 years, and I can't say Reading has gotten 20% better.
You know, I didn't start paying attention to a lot of this. I started paying attention to the county, and I started seeing what I considered a lot of corruption. And since we got three conservatives on the board, it's really coming out, and it's getting cleaned up. Is there that much corruption in the city? Do you consider this corruption? I consider it corruption when they start giving themselves raises that aren't deserved. In my opinion, you get a raise for doing a good job. They think they need a raise just for showing up, whether they do a good job or not. Do you think they're doing a good job?
Yeah, it's super. I don't think that management's doing a good job. I don't. And the fact is this was a big gamble. They took a big gamble, and it did not pay off. And had they, after that first year, when they knew, which they say, this is not my opinion, they say it in the podcast. In June, he says it on the city, our manager says it on city podcast. They say it in the January meeting for our last budget meeting in January. He says it over and over and over. They knew immediately. They knew within 6 months. They knew that the projections were wrong, but they didn't change them. And the issue that I have is that from the time that they knew that those projections were going to be off, and by the way, they had just passed a budget, so they had the previous budget numbers, the previous projections, which had they just gone back to those and said, actually, this really was a one-time, and we're going to go back to those original projections, we would have been just fine.
Why wouldn't they do that?
I don't know. That's the frustrating part. And so if you want to label that corruption, I mean, it was a very terrible decision, and they should be held accountable to that decision and stop telling everybody that it's just that the sales tax are down, because really the sales tax are flat for the last 3 years. Stop saying it's because of police and fire, because you used grants to pay for the police and fire, and stop saying that you would do it again, because that's the grading part, is that in January he says, you know, I thought about this many times and I would do it again. And people want me to know, you know, is it corruption? Is it, what's his motive? And it's like, I don't know, but I know the result. The result is that everybody got a raise, including himself.
And a big one.
A massive one. And it didn't work. So I don't think that the reward matches the effort. I think that actually they should be held accountable to that. And he should have told the council. He should have said, hey, you know what? That projection was wrong. Not that the sales tax is down, but the projections were wrong, and we have to correct the wrong projection and go back to where we were. But they didn't. They went up 13.5%, and then they only came down 5% over a year later. And then they waited a whole nother year of that failing. And then in September of 24, modified it down. Still not enough, because it still has failed every projection. We're at 12 consecutive quarters, and September will be the 13th, where we are at negative in their projections.
Well, question I have is there a clawback provision where as the numbers go down, we can start clawing back some of those raises and those commitments and say, hey, look, that was based on $1 million, but now we're at $500,000 just for easy round numbers. Is there anything in there, or are these things like set in stone, chiseled in granite, and we're stuck with them to our detriment?
I think everything is on the table. I think everything has to be on the table. I don't think it's responsible to say you can't change things, because obviously this happened because they changed their decision. Yep. They changed their decision about what they thought was, as they say, you know, prudent, you know, fiscal responsibility. They changed it. And so obviously everything needs to be on the table as to what they're going to do. But I really would like just an honest assessment of where we are. And I don't think that I don't feel like I've necessarily gotten that. And then we have to decide, you know, what's going to work and what's not. And if we say, oh, well, we're not going to do anything like that, then I just don't think that's very realistic.
Well, you know what? We're covering the same ground that's been covered on two or three shows,
okay.
And you've had a lot on Facebook, too. It's the same old thing. It's my opinion, when somebody deliberately deceives you for personal gain, they're lying to you, and there's corruption involved. That's my opinion. So I think there is corruption at the city of Reading, and there has been since Mike Warren showed up. Have you seen any other signs of corruption?
Well, I think not giving us the financials is definitely wrong, and it violates code that you don't give us financial information. We should be always having those actuals, very clear financial data. And so I would say that is one of those areas that has to be corrected immediately. We need to be given the correct financial data, the details of our financial data, so that we can actually track for the budgets for exactly what it is that we voted on and if that's actually happening.
Can you make a motion that the board can vote on and basically put it on record and say, hey, I want a motion that says our exact financials down to the last penny must be given to us, yay or nay.
Who's going to second it?
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to second it? I mean, because then it's public record. You've got them by the hairs, shall we call it, because you've done a public motion that says, hey, I need to know every number. I want to know where every penny goes. Here's the problem, though. They're corrupt crats in that they will give you a budget 4,000 pages long like they do Congress. You know, they get 8,000-page bills, and they got to vote on them in 24 hours. There's got to be a way that you guys can demand those numbers in a simple form. Our budget is this. Our personnel is this. Here's the final number. Versus, you know, we have three lead pieces, three racers. You know, we bought a bench. Can you make a motion that puts it out there and puts your fellow councilmen on note that they have to vote that this is what we're going to do?
Yes.
I think that's something we should do.
Let's skip that last clip. I got some other stuff I want to talk about. But I find that Barry is, he's good at making excuses about things that aren't necessarily so. I brought up New Pond at the supervisor, at the city council meeting, and it's, Barry told me it's shut down because the bridge is washed out. So I emailed him three or four days later, who built the bridge and how much did it cost? And Travis Mann emailed me back. Well, Barry wasn't exactly correct. It was a different walking bridge down there, and the abutment had washed out. And, you know, my position was that they lost their access to it because they're building the cancer center there. And Barry said that's not so, and you brought it up in more or less questioned about it. I walked down there a week ago. I went through a friend's backyard and I walked down there and I looked around. If you make an oval like a racetrack and the entrance is at the bottom of the oval, the walking bridge, the little old tiny bridge at the top of the oval, it's not passable. It could be very easily, but they, you know, just say you don't open. You've still got access for going both ways. There's no reason it couldn't be open. And if you go down Parkview to where the new construction is, where they cut off access to it, there's a gate there that very easily could be a driveway into New Palm. There's a big parking area that's been weed-eated that people could safely park there. It would be minimal. My position is Barry's job is to get our park open for us, not make excuses why it's not open. And the reason he's making excuses it's not open, in my opinion, is because we need a 1 cent sales tax.
Wait, are you saying that the main bridge is not what's washed out?
No, it's not washed out. Both, there's two main bridges. There's one at one end and one at the other end. And it's just a little bridge across a little slough next to the river. I'll take you down there if you want to.
Well, now I have to go down there because that was not my understanding from what we were told.
Give me a yell and put on your walking shoes and we'll walk down there and I'll show you.
Okay.
But it could be perfectly opened up for the public if there was a will to at minimum cost.
Well, especially if one bridge is already standing and not damaged.
And then you take Big League Dreams. It's completely the city's fault. It's in the shape it's in. And all they want to do, in my opinion, is make excuses why it can't be open. My position is, that's our ballpark. We paid for it. Open it up. Your job's to open it up. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, my feeling is that I went and worked to try to get a third party to come in and manage it, because I don't think that the city can afford to do it right now. We're not in a good financial position, and I would rather have a nonprofit or somebody who can run it and run the restaurant and actually make it profitable, because it's the restaurant that makes it the most profitable, and we would not be able to do that.
Is the government in business to make a profit?
No, and that's why I don't think we should. That facility has to have that restaurant to make a profit.
Yep.
And so I didn't think that we would be good candidates for that. And so I went out and looked for other people to do that, found someone willing to do that. And when we had a meeting, basically the staff told them, well, if you guys run it, then we're not going to get grants for that. We will not be helping you with grants. We're going to prioritize other things that the city is running for grants and
because
not yours.
Because we want a 1 cent sales tax.
Well, because they want it. They just want it. They want
to
run it.
That's corruption as far as I'm concerned. Be honest with us.
It's very frustrating. I argued it. I voted against having the city run it because I don't think we can afford to do it. And I don't think we're going to do it as well as the private could do it. And they were going to make it as a nonprofit. They were going to get a bunch of different partners involved. And it's someone with a track record of running sports facilities. And so it seemed like a really good option, but it was basically discouraged. And also, as you know, if the city doesn't want to work with you, it just is going to make it really difficult. You need their partnership. And so when they basically tell you they're not going to work well with you, you should believe them.
It's not a matter of not wanting to work with us. It's a matter of deceiving us. That's what I'm getting. And that's the little bit I pay attention. I hesitate to think about all the things that's gone on.
Yeah.
To where we've been misled.
Yeah.
And we've believed them.
Yes, well, me too. but I have to be responsible for that. So I don't, you know what I mean? I can't just complain. I have to actually now figure out a plan of something to do. But first I have to let the people know, because you know, if I'm going to lead into something different than what is happening in the status quo, then I need to know that you're with me on that, which is why I've put all this information out to say, public, am I on the right track? Is this is what you want me to be doing? Do you want me to be advocating in this way? Because it is going against everybody else. It is going against the status quo. So if the people don't respond and say, yes, we want you to keep doing that, then I'll stop. But I'm under the impression you want that to end and that you want our government to be working effectively and not to be the only one benefiting from what they're doing.
I'm running through real quick because we're running out of time. The ARPA money, we got $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's appropriate for the ARPA money to be spent making a riverfront-specific plan. I think the ARPA money was the American Rescue and Plan Act, and it should have been spent now helping private businesses get the taxpayers paying more taxes, getting things moving. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we got about $13 million into the general fund from that, a little over $18 million. And I have a lot of issues with it, and I think it needs to be audited. That's where a forensic audit, I think, would be very helpful.
How can we do that, get a forensic audit?
Well, the council would have to vote with me to get a forensic audit on ARPA funds. So it would just take two more votes. So that's one. Number two, I would say that I read into sort of what its intent was. And what its intent was that it wanted cities to build up their infrastructure. So if this were to happen again, you know, you'd have broadband, you'd have internet access. And so, that's why they gave money for streets, because you'd probably have to dig out streets in order to be able to put broadband underground. And you would be able to make sure that your city, your community was well connected in case, you know, this ever happened again. And that's why originally broadband was a huge part of the money that was allocated for the ARPA funds, and why their streets money that was involved as well. But they quickly pivoted on that, and that went away really fast. I mean, having a city utility of the internet was an interesting direction that we were going, and we would have been able to do that. We already have half of an intranet here in Reading, and it would have been able to expand that. And so I was interested in that. So I was not on the council when that was voted on to switch it to the riverfront specific, and it's a bit of a bummer because I do think that that would have been a benefit to us in the long run, is that much like REU, we'd have also an internet utility that's not for profit, that's just for the benefit of the public. So that's why I was very disappointed in that decision. Plus, obviously, all of the politics involved with the riverfront specific plan, it feels like it's been everything other than what it was intended to be, and that's been very frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating to me to spend $1.5 million on an outside firm to come in here and sell it to us, but, who decided we're going to be a bicycle town?
Grants. And I understand people's frustration with grants, right? So there's a good side and a bad side of all of these things. And the bad side about grants is that it's the state's priorities, not ours. And so it's, again, the state saying, we have all your money, and if you want some of it back, you're going to have to do the things that we want you to do. And because we are basically a receiver city who's always like, yes, give us more grants, we get just about as much in grant revenue as we do in our tax revenues here in the city. And so it's like we're always beholden to the priorities of the state. And the state has said, we don't want you to drive. We want you to be on a bike.
In 110 degree heat.
Yeah, so they're going to pay for you. And, you know, so we have these monstrosity, you know, cement barriers now on California Street. And it's so, I was like, why are we doing that? And they're like, well, because that bike lane is both directions. So you have, you know, both directions for your bike. So it's a super fancy, highway for your bike.
Well, I'm sure that the homeless people are very happy about that, because when I've driven through town during a nice summer day, it's not the average schmuck, you and I. It's people with backpacks, oddly enough.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the one thing that the sales tax, I think, will deliver on, it is streets. Because right now we get $10 million every year from the gas tax for streets, plus our allocation, which is another $2 million. So we get about $12 million that we can put towards streets. Half of that goes to the administration, and half of that goes to actually paving streets. So if you add $9 million to that, I do think that that's going to be an impact. I don't think every road's going to be paved in the first year. I think it's going to take a while still.
No, Mike Littall said we'd have all 10 of them paved in the first year.
It sounds great. But I do – that is probably its strongest selling feature – the sales tax, but the problem is that there's all the rest of it as well, and I don't think that we will never get 20 more cops from $3.5 million. They need so much more in tech support.
Getting back to the bicycle lanes, okay. Don't they realize how dangerous it is? when you see these bicycles right next to traffic and you look at some of the people that are driving that are on meds, it's dangerous.
It's always been dangerous, Nick.
Well, we didn't have bicycles.
Yeah.
You know, how about REU?
What about?
You want to come in and talk about REU sometime?
Sure.
I'm wondering why REU is subsidizing electric cars and electric bikes and stuff instead of bringing our rates down a little bit.
Don't get me going on that one, Nick. That's the green scam.
That's why I didn't bring it up until there's 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I mean, REU is such a huge asset. I think it's worthy of understanding exactly how they're being utilized because we don't want it to be a disadvantage to us. It's something that we have that really helps us and keeps our utility costs down. But if it's not used properly, I think that then it loses its advantage. And so I think in the current atmosphere where we're pulling more and more for personnel out of the general fund and looking for help, we're going to need to look at that.
Thanks for coming in, Tanessa.
My pleasure.
It's been our pleasure, too.
Thank you.
Next week, 2 weeks. I've been warning about you all after. That was a fun show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.